My next guest knows her way around a script. As a former journalist, she has worked for some of the biggest publications and celebrity news outlets in the business. When her desire for the creative side wouldn't let her rest, she took a leap of faith and pursued her goal of script writing wholeheartedly. Since then, she has created several successful projects, including the audio podcast series, 40s AF. She is a gifted writer who continues to flex her creative muscles. Coming up next on the 40 Plus Files, prolific storyteller, Tanisha Quilter Williams.
Welcome to the show, Tanisha. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
I've just been really excited to have you on the show because I'm such a fan. So I'm, what do they say? I'm fangirling out right now. And of course, I'm talking about your audio series, 40s AF, that I came across and just fell in love with.
Wow, that's great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. We'll talk a lot more about that. But
okay, let's do it.
But one of the first things I asked my guests is, how did you view aging when you were in your 20s?
Wow, yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I feel like everybody probably kind of views it the same, but everybody was old to me. Okay, I was young. Everybody was old. It's funny because me and my friends always laugh about the little things now that we're in our 40s, like. When I was younger, if I see my mom or any lady carrying their shoes to the car, I'd be like, ew, that's not going to be me. And now I got an extra pair of shoes in the car.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, though, a lot of it is, you know, it's the narrative that is kind of embedded in us as young people. And so, yeah, you just think anyone over 30, if not even less than that, 29, you just think they're old, you know, like, I'm not going to be that. Or you go in the club, you're like, I ain't going to be that old lady in the club at the party. And then your favorite song comes on, you're like, hey, I'm here. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, you just feel like, oh, I'm going to really conquer the world in my 20s. You know, I'm going to be rich by the time I'm 35, 40. I mean, not that it's impossible, but I'm just saying that's, you know, you just like, I know when I would write down my goals, everything was like, by the time I'm 30 this and by the time I'm 30 that. So it's interesting that I did at the time think like anything probably over 30 was old, you know, so that's kind of how I looked at aging. And, you know, I think my mom was probably in her probably 30s or 40s when I was in high school. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny as you were talking, I was thinking about when I was in my early 20s. And I was writing this stuff down. I was like, yeah, I'm going to have all the kids I'll have by the time I'm 30.
I still have my little, sometimes I go back at my little notes in my journal and look, and I'm like, ooh, okay, well, at least I did this, this, and that.
Right.
You know? But yeah. I literally wanted the world, you know, which I don't think is a bad thing, but I think 30 was like that age, like, oh, you know, I'm going to have all this stuff by then. And yeah.
Yeah.
30 it does. Came.
Absolutely. 30 does seem to be a magical number for mm-hmm. some reason for yeah. young people. Yeah. You know, the show is called the 40 Plus Files. So what was your biggest epiphany after turning 40?
Let's see. Well, first of all, that I was 40s as fuck. Okay. I was like, what the hell? Wait a minute. Wait. I mean, I think that when I turned 40, actually, I tried to ignore it, you know, and typically I have a big party. I celebrate my birthday. I have this thing where I celebrate my birthday the whole entire month. And I was kind of down a little bit about it. And I didn't want to celebrate it. I didn't really share it a lot with my friends. I think I actually went away on a trip. I did a solo trip. I just can't remember where I went. But I would say, like the biggest epiphany for me, like not, is it like negative or positive? Like meaning this or anything?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So I always say at 30, a light bulb comes on. And at 40, there is this whole new illumination. So I'm 50 and there's now it's like stadium lights. So usually 40.
See, all that and you said is really positive. So that's, I mean, I guess epiphany is supposed to be a positive thing. So I would say, I mean, really that I need to like get it together. Like, where am I at that time? What do I want to accomplish in the next 10 years? You know, was I in a good space? I think, let me see, I left my job in 2013. So that was like probably my early like 40s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I was 40, actually. And so I think for me, it was all about, you know, my happiness, where I was. Was I happy where I was? You know, did I feel like I really pushed to accomplish whatever it was that I set out to accomplish, which for me was moving to LA to become a writer and, you know, opportunities to either get on the big screen or just do something. And I think for me at that time, it hadn't happened. You know, I had other successes in other areas of my life. And, you know, when I was in journalism at the time, and I was just like, okay, am I either going to keep on this path where I'm not really fully satisfied, or do you want to go ahead and give it another try? You know, because I hadn't been writing for a while. Journalism, working for the magazines, I worked for Us Weekly magazine as a senior reporter, took a lot of my time. So it was very hard for me to do other things outside of that. And it's a kind of a thankless, you know, unless you're in love with journalism in that way, especially since it was gossip tabloid journalism, you know, it took just a lot of out of you, like emotionally and mentally, you know, there's a lot of hiding and stuff like that. So for me at that time, I think is when I was just like, okay, is this really going to take me where I want to be? Am I happy here? What's next for me? So I think that I did kind of take a, what is it called? Like an inventory of where I was, like emotionally and physically and mentally. And because I didn't want, you know, 10 more years to pass me by where I was in a space where I wasn't that happy there. Again, it was great opportunities. I have great stories and memories, but it still was for me not where I wanted to be. So I think that's the kind of the biggest thing. So I did, I took inventory of my life, like, and to see like where I was and where's my shift. And I found it. I did make a shift.
Wow. Absolutely. That's quite an epiphany too, mm-hmm. because at that point you left the world of journalism and, yeah. you know, just to, you know, pursue your passion as a creative and to write for the screen. Talk about your journey as far as your educational goals. I know that as an educator, this is sort of the beginning of the semester for my students. So a lot of them are saying, well, I don't know what I want to do yet, which is fine. So when did you know that you definitely had a gift in terms of writing? Did you know that in undergrad, or was that something that you discovered along the way?
Yeah, for me, because I was like, I was a non-traditional student. I didn't go to school till my late 20s. And then I became obsessed with like learning and things like that. So for me, I'll back up a little bit. I originally started going to school for documentaries because that's kind of like, I love documentaries, still do. And I was like, oh, I could be a documentary producer, whatever. But that was before like Michael, the guy that does all the big documentaries now and makes money, before yes. he was out. And so after I graduated from the Art Institute, I was like, am I going to be able to make money? You know, am I going to be able to, which I probably shouldn't have thought like that, but I did. And so during the time at the Art Institute, I went to like an entertainment convention in Dallas, Texas, where the school was, because I went to school in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And I ended up seeing Spike Lee speak. And the whole time he was speaking about how, you know, yes, it's great to be an actress, it's great to be this in front of this camera, but we need people behind the scenes of color. And then he kind of mentioned screenwriting. And at that time, you know, I had no idea. I thought writing was passed down generationally. I didn't really understand that that was like a career you could pursue. So I started reading about it and learning about it. And I had a teacher that was into writing. And so what I started doing is every time I had a project, I would kind of like, you know, like she would be like, do a report on someone, and I would turn it into a screenplay, you know, so I would do different things like that to see, like test myself. And I got really good response in school. So I literally, like after I graduated with my degree at Art Institute, I moved to California to pursue writing. So that was kind of, you know, how I ended up here. And like I said, I just got a lot of really great feedback on what I was doing. So I was like, oh, okay, I can probably do this, you know? And so that's kind of how I got into screenwriting and I came here and pursued it, you know, had some small successes, met a lot of great people that were trying to help me along the way. I was a little hard-headed about certain things, but yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, so I think that, it's commendable that you picked up and you moved to LA. That's, I think, the ultimate pursuit, right?
Everybody was like, don't go there, you're gonna be on drugs in a year, they're gonna prostitute you, you're gonna be an escort, which can definitely happen. I've seen it. Wow. I've seen it happen to a bunch of women that I met when I first moved here that are not here any longer.
Oh my goodness.
So it can happen. I understand the fear, but it's a great city. I mean, it has its advantages and disadvantages. I mean, you have to be really careful and be, you know, have some type of foundation. At least for me, it was a spiritual foundation. I didn't have that. Mm-hmm. Who knows where, you know, I might've been on drugs.
Yeah.
But I always had like a foundation that was given to me, you know, by my parents and that I saw out. And because it can be, you know, it could be a little harsh and difficult to kind of navigate around people and what they say. And they can tell. They know when you are new here. They can tell when you fresh meat up in here. Okay.
Wow.
Nobody tried to really mess with me too much now because I look like a veteran, I'm sure. I'm like, my whole energy is veteran energy. You know, they're not trying to, they can't really pull too much over my head. But back then, you know, it's almost like you're a magnet. Like people would, I mean, I met so many amazing people and stuff like that, you know, when I first moved to LA and that promised me the world or whatever. And they could, if they wanted to, give me the world. And didn't necessarily always work out that way. You know, everybody has their own intentions and you find that out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to decide, do you want to play that game or not? And it doesn't always have to work that way. Obviously there's a bunch of different ways. There's no like foolproof way to make your way into the industry or to get a break. But yeah, that was kind of like my experience.
Okay, nice. Was it scary for you? I mean, just picking up?
Not, it was fun.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't really scary for me just because I'm kind of adventurous and I love meeting people. I'm a people person. I was a little shy when I was younger, but as I got older and being in Texas, you know, I left home when I was young, when I was 16. So I kind of learned how to deal and navigate people. So, no, it was great. I mean, I feel like the hardest part is understanding that California, Los Angeles especially, is more of a transactional relationship city. It's not really for, I'm not saying you can't build and establish friendships, but people pretty much become your friend in the beginning based on what you can offer them and kind of like they can offer you in some way. At first, you don't realize that, but as you live here longer, you start to realize if you don't have that job that they can get the hookup from, then they, you might not hear from them again.
Wow.
For a while, you know what I'm saying? Like yes. That, you know, and I had to learn that the hard way because I would be like, oh, that's my friend. That's my, you know, but yeah, I don't really work like
that. So a lot of that, like expecting, you know, reciprocity in some form or another, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours, that kind of thing.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So I know you worked for a number of years as a journalist. Do you think that prepared you in some way to sort of write for television or screenwriting?
No, not really. I mean, only because I ended up going back to school and throughout my first couple of years here, I basically, probably the first 8 years or 10 years I was here, I kind of, you know, I worked at William Morris. I worked at ICM. I worked at E-Entertainment and Inside Edition. So I kind of like moved around a lot in different parts of the industry. And so it wasn't really based in that and the writing part of it. So a lot of the stuff I learned on my own by, you know, taking classes and workshops. And then after I left Us Weekly, I went to UC Riverside. They have a screenwriting master's program. And I went there and took their master's program just to see if I was, you know, still really in it, if my heart was really in it, because I didn't want to, because I left and I was thinking, can I really do this? You know what I mean? I'm 40, mm-hmm. 40 now or whatever. And I still had the desire. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this master's program. If I make it through the program, then I will pursue it a little bit longer and see what I can get out of it, you know?
Okay. Yeah, that's amazing. So once you started writing on a regular basis, how did you come up with the script for 40s AF?
Well, it's funny because, okay, so initially, I didn't know anything about podcasting. I met this guy at some like function I went to and we just ended up clicking and talking and he was telling him like my pains of not really being able to get my work out there and how I feel like now everything is about web series and this and that. And I just, you know, I came up in a time where people were talking about how they left their script outside an agent's door and they read it and got a break. So I was like, I shouldn't have to create anything. You know what I mean? Like, so initially most of my projects are feature films. So it was in my head, I'm like, I don't know if I can write TV, or I don't know if I can write anything shorter. And then after, it took a couple of years for me to kind of really think about it. And I was like, okay, Tanisha, you got to, what do they say? You got to shit or get out the pot. So I was like, okay, let me figure something out. So I started just thinking about, like, they always say, write something that's close to you. It's the easiest thing. So I was like, okay, well, I'm in my 40s. My friends are in their 40s. We're all like having little growing pains here and there, or reaching this mark of realizing that, oh, we got to take care of our appearance, or, you know, worrying about this or that. So I just decided, like, I'm going to see if I can write, you know, write about this, you know, three women, three friends in their 40s, and their friendship and their ups and downs, and actually just kind of open up that world. Cause I feel like a lot of the shows were around 20-year-olds, you know, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. At the time, because I promise you, right when my podcast came out is when, like, I forgot the name of the Jill Scott show, but that came out. So that was like,
First Wives Club.
Yeah. And then after that, it seemed like a whole bunch of ensembles came out. So I'm just saying, I was ahead of my time. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I can give you the dates when I wrote this script. Okay. So yes. I wrote it as a TV show and as like a pilot, because I thought, oh, let me write it as a pilot just in case, like, I can pass it around. Then I'll turn it into a podcast as a proof of concept. So that's kind of how I approached it initially. Mm-hmm. Which I probably shouldn't have did that, because it made it harder when I tried to turn it from a script to a podcast. But the process took a little longer. But yeah, I pretty much kind of just was thinking about all the things that me and my friends go through, because we're just like crazy and we have fun, and you know, we and just our conversations about life. I started thinking, like, gosh, you know, it's such a different conversation that we had in our 20s. Like, we always laugh, like, we'll get on the phone and be like, girl, my foot hurt, you know. And after a few minutes, you know, we both passed some little ailments. We'd be like, damn, we sound old. Like, we're talking about our ailments, you know. I'll be like, okay, we can't talk about that no more. Nah. I mean, that hurt. I don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? But it's so funny, because you start thinking how your parents, your mom, you know, mm-hmm. used to roll your eyes like, ugh, talk about this. But now we're like, oh, my back, I've been taking this medicine, you know? And it's like, oh, so embarrassing. It's like, I mean, like, did we just talk, you know, did we just have 15 minute conversation about, you know, your sciatic nerve, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, don't get into it. I don't know if you start experiencing them or not, but hot flashes and brain fog and.
Not bad, but the sciatic nerve, that is real. I probably know 10, 15 people that have had that issue, in men too.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? And that, and I guess, I don't really know where it comes from, but it's a real thing, and it hurts like hell. And the doctors don't really know where it comes from. They can do MRI or whatever. So there's different things you can do. Like, I did an alignment that helps. Like, there I go. About to go into. But I'm just saying, it's real, the ailments, or, like, you know, talking about your parents, because, you know, this is the age where your parents kind of start, you know, unfortunately, hopefully they don't, but, you know, they almost become like kids, and you got to kind of check in on them and make sure they're good, you know, stuff like that. Or me and my girlfriend, we both single, so we're always like, girl, we're going to end up living together. Did you eat my yogurt? Did you eat my muffin? I said, no, you're not.
The golden girls, right?
We always have to laugh about that, because we both be like, ooh, girl, we need to get us a husband. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, for people who don't know, 40s AF is an audio series that can be found, or I know on Spotify, but on
the Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Apple, we're everywhere. Google Play, anywhere that they place podcasts, you can find us.
Yes. And it's about three 40 plus single friends, Brianna, Hope, and Shanice. Now, Hope is the writer, so I want to know how much of you is in Hope, because I have a feeling.
It's a little mixed in there. I would say, like, each character probably has, like, I probably pull from five or six of my friends, and I mix characteristics and stories into it. But Hope definitely probably has a little bit more of my story to an extent, you know, and then this mixed in with some different stories that from friends or, you know, things that I've seen or heard, because I'm the ear hustler in Starbucks. When I used to write in Starbucks, I'd be like, oh, what are they talking about? Oh, I like that story, you know. So. Or I'll just make it stuff up from, you know, what you wish. Like, I always be like, oh, I wish I could be that girl to slash tires and bust out windows. I never, you know, that ain't my personality, and I just never want to go to jail. That's where Shanice, that little thing for her come from, because I was like, ooh, I'm
yes,
some tires and windows, you know.
It's so funny, but yeah, it's such a treat. I mean, because I'm an avid podcast listener, obviously. But yeah, for anyone who is, because I was actually doubtful about audio series until a couple of years ago, a friend of mine's like, oh, you have to listen to this one. I listened to another one. I think it's Bronzeville by Lorenz Tate and his brothers, the Ooh, Tate brothers. Okay. So, and that kind of, you know, got me hooked. I was like, okay. So I came across yours and fell in love. Just, yeah, you know,
I really appreciate
wonderful
that.
Job.
A lot
to me. I mean, the writing is just amazing. So I know that, so you are on this, you're still on your journey. Talk about your passion. What are you passionate about?
I mean, I'm passionate about, well, I'm really passionate about travel. I like to get out of town. I'm passionate about my writing. Like, I love and enjoy telling stories, you know, about women and women evolving and, you know, chasing after their dreams or whatever it is that they like to have in their life, whatever challenges, you know, they're coming up against and overcoming them. So a lot of my stories are, do have women leads. I have a couple of stories with men, but for the most part, it's women leads. You know, family, I'm a real loyal person for some of my friends, you know, I just make sure they're good. Yeah.
Writers, I think writers are very loyal. So I want to go back just a little bit. I know you said that after you turned 40, you took a vacation alone. So you did the solo trip. How was that? I'm always intrigued.
I love it. I mean, I actually travel a lot by myself now since then because I try not to tell nobody because my friends are like, I want to go. I actually, in my 20s and 30s, travel a lot with a bunch of girls. And don't get me wrong, like, I'm not a loner. I love hanging out with my friends and stuff. But when I go on a trip, like, I am obsessed about putting together, I literally have a blog that I put together a whole trip, like where I want to go, what I want to do. And I just, sometimes when I go with other people, it's like, you got to be worrying about what they want to do.
Okay. So you do an itinerary for yourself, because when I travel, I do an itinerary for whoever I'm with, mostly my family, but that I'm the itinerary person.
Yeah. So I'm like that too. You know, I mean down to the T, of course it's not etched in stone. It's just that, but if we follow it, it's
yes.
Cool, you know?
Absolutely.
And then we can go off the, you know, the itinerary. So typically now, like, if I invite someone to come, it's usually one person, maybe two, is rare. You know, just, I don't know. I just really enjoy spending time with myself.
That is that's amazing though, Tanisha. That's amazing because
that sounds so bad, but I do. And not being like harassed about what someone else wants to do. Now I have a couple of solid friends that we consistently go places together. But if I could sneak away by myself, I kind of do that just because I just don't, it's just like, look, if we don't want to do this, okay, I'll be back. Cause I'm big on that. And so, but there's a lot of people that don't like that, you know, they don't want to separate. And, and I'm not that kind of person. I'm like, okay, well, you go do that. I'm going to do this. I'll see you later. So I'm kind of.
You have to really have a strong sense of self to travel all the time alone. Do you get any writing done, or is it just?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Usually if I do travel myself, and that's usually my goal, is to like work on something, you know, work on a project. Like I was going to go to Egypt for my birthday in April. I kind of trying to change it up just because of the COVID situation. Not trying to tell nobody. I just slipped, and one of my friends was like, "Let's, I want to go." I'm like, "Oh, okay." I changed it up now, so I'm going somewhere different. So, I mean, I usually do try to, you know, I'll be like, okay, let me see what can I get done, take a project or two with me, or if I want to read some books and catch up on some reading, you know, but, you know, if depending on where I'm going, but I might be like, okay, come on, let's go meet me there. Let's go there. Yeah. But typically I'll take some stuff with me just to get some other things done. I'll rest. It's almost like just like a rejuvenation period. Cause I feel like being in California, it's almost like you're constantly like on, you're constantly in a rat race of, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. Mm-hmm. Let me pitch here. Who can I reach out to? Especially with writing, or, I mean, I'm sure it's probably like that with most of the careers yes. that came in, or maybe just in general, but yeah, you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. That's wonderful.
Proposals, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, I think that a lot of women can be inspired by that actually, you know, to look at someone like you who is just, you know, freely moving about and you're still passionate about your work and everything like that. And when I see people, women especially, who travel on, I'll be like, that's grown. I want to be like that.
It just means we just love, don't want to be bothered with a bunch of people all the time. Like, you know how it is. You go on a trip with 3-4 people, everybody different personalities. Mm-hmm. Everybody want to eat somewhere different.
Yeah, you know. It ensures, I guess, that you do exactly what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds selfish.
No, you know what? You know, I heard a therapist say that more women, especially Black women, need to be selfish.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I love traveling, and I actually travel like every 3 months anyway. So mm-hmm. somebody could come, you know, anytime, but sometimes just having that moment for yourself and really like taking it in, I think it's just beautiful. But, you know, but I'm a huge traveler. Like, I don't just travel once a year or whatever. So.
Nice. Well, what's on the horizon for you in terms of projects and things?
Well, I just finished season 2 of 40s AF and I have shut that chapter. So I'm not going to be doing season 3. And it's been a really good run. I got a lot of meetings out of it and, you know, people reaching out to me. So that's great. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of served its purpose. And then I have the content that's out there so people can still go to it. So right now I'm working on a short film, and it's about a mom and her daughter and just, you know, basically some issues they're going through. So the mom has to decide whether she's going to follow her head or her heart. It's a drama short film. So right now, I'm looking to shoot it probably mid to late March, hopefully, if everything goes good. I'm still trying to cast the lead, so it's been a little difficult. So I'm working on that. I have a new pilot idea that I want to write. So that's something that I want to do. And I have a romantic comedy that I'm trying to do a rewrite on. So I'm kind of working on a couple of things. Mm-hmm. And then it's funny because someone just emailed me a couple of days ago, like, oh, look at this email. I keep getting emails from people, and people are writing the actors in the podcast and asking, telling them, you know, saying great things about the podcast and saying, we should turn it into a web series. And mm-hmm. so one of the actresses was like, you want to turn it into a web series? You know, where I can work? And I'm like, girl, you got some money.
It's such a great, you know, audio series. It really is. And we hate to see it go. That's all that is.
No, I love it. But I just started like hyperventilating. Like, I don't know if I could do all that. So she's like, let's talk about it after you finish this short film. So I'm like, okay, we'll talk about it. And I mean, I would love to, you know, be able to do that. I would love even more for a network to be able to do that.
Yes. Well, you know, I think it would
be definitely a great idea for someone to pick up, especially, you know, right now in this season. So we'll see. I mean, I just told her, you know, let's shelve it until after I shoot the short, and then I'll think about it. So maybe I will turn it into a web series.
Hey, all right. My listeners who are Hollywood heavy hitters.
Well, tell them they need to help me out and set me up on the GoFundMe page.
Oh no, they will have struck gold.
They need to mention Lee Daniels and mention some of these good people come to turn this into a web series.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So let me ask, what are some of the biggest advantages of doing what you do at your age? And what are some challenges?
I mean, I guess the biggest advantages for me is I feel like I know what I want. I know how I want to do things. I feel like, you know, the commitment that I put into it is there, versus maybe when I was younger, it's like so many distractions. I don't have as many distractions now. And I think the challenges, you know, is my age, you know, thinking like, should I really be focused on this dream of mine when I have nieces and nephews, which I do pour into, but people are like, oh, you need to like leave yours alone and, you know, just be pouring into the younger people, you know? So, you know, sometimes I'm like, what am I doing? You know, am I just like dragging this out, or, you know, I'm getting older and there's other things that I want in my personal life. Like I want children, I want to adopt. So it was like, you know, people are like, oh, when you do that, you're not going to be able to do nothing, you know? So it's challenging to, depending on where you are in your life in your 40s, where I'm not in my 40s, where most women now are sending their kids to college. I want kids. So it's like, you know, trying to decide like what's the best thing, you know, and knowing that, okay, maybe when I do get those things in my life, I'm gonna have to slow down on this end. Am I ready for that? So there's a lot of different variables, you know, but I mean, at the end of the day, I might be in my 40s, but I'm still alive.
That's right. That's right.
I'm still living. I'm still evolving. Yeah.
Yes. You know, hey, look, Janet Jackson, Naomi Campbell, you know, new mommies over 50, right?
Yes. It's like never too late to be your best self. And I think that that's like the biggest message that I would like to share, you know, to encourage people to not feel like your life is over and that it's come to an end just because you've reached 40 plus. You know, you can always reinvent yourself at any age, you know?
Yeah. That brings me to my next question, and you've already answered it. What advice do you have for women who are over 40 and believe their best years are behind them? I mean,
pretty much that, you know, it shouldn't matter how old you are. I mean, if you still have a desire, a passion, you know, for something, go for it. You know, if you, you know, see yourself in a certain space, who's to say just because you're 40 plus that you can't be in that space, you know, and create a space for others as well. A lot of the narrative that is around being 40 and older is, I think, very old. Like, I still can't believe 50 is a senior citizen. Like, I have a hard time with that. Like, I'm still mad about that. Which
the AARP thing.
Yeah. I'm just like, no, I do not want that card. Like, no, I can't take it. I got 2 years. And I'm gonna be like changing my address. Like, right?
They will find you.
That's what my mom said. Oh my gosh.
They will find you. Girl, look. Okay, I am a proud owner of that AARP card, you know, and I have utilized those benefits already.
Oh my God. Everyone keeps saying that. They're like, you're going to change your mind once you get the card. It's so, you know, great benefits. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I mean, I just want to encourage women, men, whoever, to just continue to shine 40 and plus and beyond, because it's never, you know, too late to do things that you want to do. And at the end of the day, it's, you know, we're living our lives. And we all know, no matter how old you are, until you learn the lesson, right?
Yes.
Then you're going to repeat it anyway. So.
Yes.
So, I'm determined, and I am really trying to direct my energy and my headspace into not being so focused on my age. You know, is it something that I think about? Yeah. I mean, cause you can't help it. You know what I'm saying? You're constantly bombarded with stuff in the media. I mean, look at what happened with the Super Bowl recently. Like, I'm so upset about that. You know, yeah. Oh, this is the oldest Super Bowl. Yes. Today I saw a headline. It was a horrible headline again about being old. And I'm thinking, these are icons. Like,
yes. Right now? I know.
I'm like, this is real. I mean, I don't think I've seen even maybe like Variety or Hollywood Reporter, but I haven't really seen like a great headline at all.
I know.
And I just can't imagine how that's possible. Every single one of them have been about their age. And I'm just like, what, why? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a milestone, like an amazing achievement in their lives. These people came from, you know, most of them.
From nothing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're at the freaking Super Bowl performing, and all people can say is how old they are.
Exactly.
Oh, collectively, there's 298 years between them. Who comes up with these headlines? Right. I'm like, they should have been like icons on fire.
Yes. Right? Yes. You know what I mean? Like, it proves my point, though. I always say we live in such a youth-driven culture. Our culture is obsessed with youth.
Obsessed with it.
But look, it's our job.
That's when we're most confused anyway. This is the best time. This is the best age to reinvent yourself.
Say that.
You are more educated. Mm-hmm. You are more decisive on what you really want. Hopefully you really know yourself to some extent or a little bit better. You know, hopefully you learn from some of your mistakes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I just don't get how the headlines that were so scattered like that. I just can't believe it. I was like,
well, listen, you know, I plan to change that narrative. Seriously.
Yes, that's why,
that's
I
what this show
it.
Is all about.
Yeah, I'm going to be listening too. That's right. Listening and sharing.
Yes. Yeah. I appreciate it. How can people find you and get in touch with you?
My website is TanishaQuilterWilliams.com. 40s AF is, you can also, if you don't want to go to the platforms, you can go to www.40sAF.com. And I'm on Instagram under Tangible Films Presents. So I don't know. That's probably not the easiest ways because it's so many different names, but, if you just Google 40s AF, you can find me.
Absolutely. They will definitely be in for a treat. Thank you so much, Tanisha, for sharing your 40 plus power.
Yes.
With us today. I can't say enough about 40s AF. Listen to this show. It's amazing. Thank you again, Tanisha.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time and congratulations on your show.
Tanisha is working diligently on her next creative project. And I can assure you, it's going to be amazing. Her audio series, 40s AF, can be heard on all major podcast platforms. You can find out more about Tanisha and her projects by visiting her website at TanishaQuilterWilliams.com.
For more information about the podcast, send inquiries to info@the40plusfiles.com. Don't forget to follow the podcast on Instagram at The 40 Plus Files. You can also follow my blog at www.wordyprofessor.com. Until next time, 40 Plus Phenoms, keep on shining.